When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com. The
score! This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
It's a bootleg instead on third down. Third down, and he's dragged down from behind by Sweat.
That's the one guy who can actually go inside and still keep contained on the outside. You see why he was drafted so high. He's got that next level ability to do multiple things. He's so far inside, almost everyone else gets outrun to the corner, and it's surprising, second time today, that Sweat. See how he goes inside there? Usually that's a very bad idea against Jaden Daniels, but Sweat can make it work.
That, believe it or not, was the last time Montez Sweat had a sack. That was October 27th. It is November 22nd, so it's been nearly a month since he has had a sack. That was against the Commanders. Through nine games, he has 3.5 sacks.
Yuck.
Right. That was the guy that made the entire difference last year, the whole idea of the Tez effect. I know he's getting double-teamed.
And he's not healthy 100%.
Well, all great pass rushers get double-teamed, and through nine games, most NFL players aren't 100% healthy. So, anytime, man.
Yeah, I think anytime, when you say that, you really mean next time, as in Sunday.
Well, I mean, it's already too late now. Like, they've already
why is it
lost.
Too late? Why is it too late?
We'll get to that to look at the numbers. I mean, there's nothing. This season's just shot. So
it's best you know this now, Marshall. It's best you just learn this.
I don't think the season is shot, because I think when we started the season, we said, oh, the playoffs would be nice, but Caleb Williams' development is the most important thing.
I actually predicted they would be in the playoffs.
I predicted they finished 10-7. I said 10-7 playoffs.
I said 10 wins. I was really hopeful.
And I want to point out that's still on the table. Mm-hmm. 6-1 is possible. Mathematically speaking, Dan, 6-1 is possible.
Crack pipe down.
Okay, let me ask you something, Dan. If they win this week.
Yeah.
And then they win next week.
Right, and then they win the next week, and then they win the next week.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Now you're following me.
Yeah, no, okay. Well, a little bit later in the show, Jason Leeser did some of the work on what those possibilities are. And I agree.
He got it calculated. He did the math.
That all that matters right now is the development of Caleb Williams and getting that taken care of, and that's why we're watching, and that's what's important. I also think, you know, right now they should be formulating their next steps for a coaching staff. Like, they should be well down. They should be well down that road. They should be. It is their responsibility to already be talking to more agents than just Trace Armstrong.
See, did we figure out who Thomas Brown's agent is? Did we establish that?
Not Trace Armstrong.
We know that, but we don't know who his agent is. Maybe a new pipeline.
Can I get us back to Sunday real quick?
Oh yeah.
He has to be a disruptive presence in order for the Bears to have a chance against the Vikings. Do you remember how comfy, in the words of Caleb Williams, Kirk Cousins was to start the game the last time these two teams met? What do you do? Rattle off like 16 straight completions or something wild? They didn't even try to rush the passer in that game. You can't have that happen again. They've got to have some sort of pass rush or at least some blitz looks or something that's going to not let the Vikings quarterback, Sam Darnold, relax out there.
I don't think Sam Darnold, first of all, is Kirk Cousins. Let's start with that.
I don't care. You can turn him into Kirk Cousins real easy if you don't want to rush anybody.
So that's Matt Eberflus has to do his secondary job first this week. He has to set the tone defensively. He's got to figure out a way to get pressure on the quarterback. It's been an issue. It's been one of the reasons they haven't been a quote-unquote top five defense, as many people had lauded them to potentially being this season.
And the similarity with Kirk Cousins, if you want to do that, is Darnold is one of those guys that as a play deteriorates, is much more likely to make a mistake. He's not one of these guys who finds a way to keep his cool when all hell's breaking loose around him. You remember early in his career, he talked about seeing ghosts out there, famously when he was coming off the field at one point. And he is, as a play starts to go bad, your defense has to be more opportunistic against him.
And that is the operating goal for a defense. Like, sometimes that is the margin you have to work with in order to have success. I do, however, respect the resume that Darnold has put together this year. You can't argue with the improvement.
No, the improvement is there. I think there's ways to get him. We talked to Matt Bowen about it. I like the idea that if you're in man, he can find the guys he needs to find. But zone and mixing things up, is, I think there's going to be opportunities, is what I'm saying. They have giveaways on the season that show us that you can make him make mistakes. Now, will the Bears be able to take advantage of the mistakes like they did last week against Jordan Love? We'll see. But the opportunities will definitely be there to get the takeaways, and that's something that's been lacking. Even though they've been on the plus side of the turnover margin, it hasn't been good enough. You need multiple takeaways in games to win at this level.
Man, that's it to me. You're looking, Marshall and Dan, to me, at a game where you could say the same thing as to what we said about the Packers game, where you had sustainable drives, you showed promise in the offense, you had a good mix of plays, you won the turnover battle, but you still might not have enough offense or firepower to get this thing through.
It starts with up front. Eric Washington, the defensive coordinator, talked yesterday about, I mean, he knows it, that the Bears don't really have a pass rush recently.
That's a weekly aspiration and goal. Everything that we like to do starts with our four-man rush, first through third down and including 2 minutes. And whatever we desire to do in terms of sending an extra player should complement that. But we have to have the production with our four-man rush.
Well,
and you haven't. You haven't had it. So what's going to change? I need to understand what's being designed, drawn up, however you want to put it. What's changed that's going to allow that pressure to develop? Now, maybe it's Montez Sweat being healthier. Maybe that's a starting point. I don't know how he's feeling. Well, I know how he's feeling, but I don't know how he is from an injury standpoint. But I know he's been off the injury report, and that seems to be a step in the right direction.
Absolutely. But again, kind of like, I guess it's a coaching thing. You know, you want to always win the play with base personnel, right? Like, you don't want to have to go max protect to complete a pass. You don't want to have to blitz in order to provide pressure. But you have to do it sometimes. Like, that's the mix here. You know, you can't always just have everything you want outright. Like, if your talent isn't out-talenting the other player, then you have to do something in order to at least change the pace to get a different outcome.
Losing Andrew Billings hurt. There's no question that the attention that he drew, regardless of if you're talking about him as a pass rusher, as a presence, you only have so many blockers and you only have so many people for whom you have to account. And the moment he went out, we knew it. We knew it wasn't just his size and how, you know, broad in the beam he is as a run stuffer. It takes up other attention. Now, so the question is, what can you do? Well, you can answer that. Rather than send extra people, you can change your alignments. You can, if depending on your specific athletic matchup with the guy across from you, if Montez Sweat wants to beat people with speed, you can take a wider alignment in certain situations.
Does that mean your gap integrity fails?
Well, it just means everything else has to be balanced to account for that. Or what else can you do? Twists and games using those same four. And you can have guys loop around and you can do all of your line stunts here. But in doing that, if a team also has the right play call on, there's exposure there. So within the game within the game with some of these guys is a lot of times if you want to get your four guys home somehow, it's just got to be on them. And where Montez Sweat did it last year, he's not doing it this year. Yet.
We know he's a second-half player in in a Bears uniform anyway. So you're hoping for more production on the back end than you had on the front end. I wonder who else could step up, though, because we keep talking about Montez Sweat like it's all on him, but somebody else has to step. If he's getting double teamed, can someone else not step up? Is that possible? We talked Jervon Dexter earlier in the season. We look at the other end and see who's rotating in. They make a trade to get another pass rusher, and it hasn't. There's been flashes, but frankly, you don't need a flash. You need a consistent stream.
Dominique Robinson has been only active for a couple of games this year. He was somebody who they looked at with some potential individual ability. And for all the hype we had over Austin Booker.
That was preseason hype, Dan.
Yeah, I know. But he made the team and was in a rotation. I had one source that was talking to the other day about him just said he doesn't really. He's a great athlete. He's got a great build, a great motor. He just doesn't know what he's doing yet. That he really doesn't understand the angles and the levers and. That he still could be good, but at the moment he just doesn't really know what he's doing.
I do think that's a fair expectation out of him based on what they gave up for him and based on what they need him to be. The problem is we're focusing on him because other people are either missing out of the defensive line or they might not be performing up to snuff.
So let's hear what Montez Sweat had to say about these problems.
Yeah, it gets to me a little bit. As pass rushers, we look at numbers, and we know that we're judged upon our numbers and stats like that. But I know it's just one bump in the road. Just got to keep going.
So why don't you think you are getting home as much?
Well, it's a multiple of reasons. You can't really pinpoint one reason, but yeah, it's a multiple of reasons.
Are you getting chipped so much that it's making it difficult to...
I mean, I wouldn't say that. I understand what comes with being the type of pass rusher I am. I'm going to get chips. I'm going to get slides. We have to find a plan around that and figure out how to get them down.
Do you feel like you've been figuring things out as you try to get after the quarterback? You said as they attack you, you're trying to adjust.
I mean, it's like a week-to-week thing. They come in bunches. So, I mean, I think we need to just figure things out as a front. It's not just me. It's a collective group that needs to compete to one common goal.
We know you're not the type that's going to make excuses with injuries, but obviously you've been on the injury report. You've been dealing with these injuries for a bit. Now, how much has that limited you to be your full form?
I mean, it comes with being a football player, knickknacks and all that type of stuff. I definitely have been on the injury report this year more than I'm used to, but it's no excuse.
Are you personally frustrated?
I mean, we on a, 3-4 game losing streak? I'm pretty frustrated. So yeah,
is that a healthy anger that the defense kind of shares?
I think it's everybody in the locker room is sharing. The all common goal at the end of the day is just to win, whether that's with sacks or points. So either way it goes, we just want to be in the W column.
Thank you.
I think he's right about the collective part.
Yeah, take your anger out on somebody on Sunday. I'll like to see that.
Yeah, and I think it is more than just him. And I know because he's the guy that got paid and because he's the guy who led your team in sacks last year, which, by the way, wasn't a large total of sacks that he had to lead the team in sacks. I came into this season wondering who's going to get pressure on the quarterback. And here we are over halfway through the season, and that question has not changed. And the answers have not been satisfactory. And you could talk about being a top 5, top 10 defense all you want, but it's a quarterback league. And if you can't get to the quarterback, you face a good one, he's going to get you killed.
Well, and they just get so relaxed. You're talking about one of the best receivers in the league the Vikings have on the other side.
Oh, they have a good receiver?
I hate how much I just love Justin Jefferson's game. Like what he makes catches.
Why do you hate it?
Because he's in the division. He's an opponent of the Bears see twice a year.
So
you can respect greatness, but also feel like the team that you are dealing with can find ways to solve the equation.
But I find myself saying like, oh, they really need an offense that is schemed toward his talent. Like that's how much I, as a football fan, like seeing him play. So when you're watching the Bears on the other side and you know that their defensive line is supposed to be disruptive, it's just upsetting. Where's Zach Pickens in all of this, by the way?
Yeah, there are several names you can throw out right now that have not come to play at a high level this season. They're there. I see them at the end of the game in the little individual statistics, but I don't see a lot of crooked numbers next to their name. I see a lot of zeros and ones. It looks like someone's building some type of data service on a computer. Zeros and ones. That's what I see.
That's binary code. It's great for a lot of things, but not if you're talking about stat keeping.
Exactly. That's the point. If you're a pitcher in baseball, oh, zeros and ones. That's what I like to see. But for this particular sport and this defense that needs to tighten up, which the best thing I can say about this defense so far this season is, hey, they bend, but they don't usually break. But they give up chunks of yards. If you look at the total yards allowed, it's starting to creep up there. They're starting to be very middle of the pack in yards allowed per game.
Well, I'm disappointed, frankly, that they haven't developed a more impactful defensive tackle to either be behind Andrew Billings or supplant Andrew Billings. Because even though Billings has been really good this year, we forget he was like a borderline NFLer for a while. He was bouncing around practice squads. He was getting released by teams, and he credit to him for how hard he's worked to build himself back into what he was. But it's not like he has some pedigree. Like, ideally, when you took Dexter and you took Pickens there, and say what you all the injury setbacks and all that, we have been looking at three technique, and we've been looking at the middle of this line from jump.
Yep.
From the ever since the failed signing of Larry Ogunjobi.
Yes.
Of them trying to run this defense without having the most important person in there. And then we saw them, you know, occasionally Sweat would go in at three technique. Billings would be at three technique. But they never, ever really solved that.
I think a part of it, too, is they draft based on traits and not necessarily tape. So then you're putting a lot of faith into people like Jarvon Dexter, who we've seen improve. He deserves that respect. Credit to Adam Studzinski. But when you're doing that for so many players, then how many risks are you taking? How many things do you need to pay off? It's almost like, again, Jed Hoyer's discussion. Like, expecting people to overperform here or like outperform the expectation that they may have had?
That's a Cubs thing. That you can only say that you expect overperformance when you're the Cubs.
But when you're drafting based on traits to this example and to this extreme, and you're needing all of those positions to hit in a way that you think your process and your system is going to get them there, and asking the question.
I don't think it's overperformance. I think that's development.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Development is really the key here. And do we have a system? Is it a systemic crisis in terms of development, specifically on the defensive line? Because it's not that they've taken, it's not that they haven't spent draft capital on defensive linemen. They have. They just haven't performed at the level that, you know, second, third, fourth rounders probably should in for most teams.
I think it's a bigger discussion to me because a lot of people will say third round and on don't matter. You know, that it's hit and miss.
I disagree.
I completely disagree. I argue that that is where you make your team. It's, you know, the GMs who can't get a first round pick right. Okay, that's pretty obvious. That's a little more self-explanatory. But when it comes to the GMs who know how to hit in the third, fourth, fifth rounds, that's when, to me, you're really doing your job.
This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. If you are looking toward this weekend for wagertainment possibilities, be it college football, pro football, NBA, the NBA Emirates Cup, or whatever it is, Joe Ostrowski is going to have all the advice that you need, and he is coming your way next on The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Joe Ostrowski, host of BetQL Daily on the BetQL Network.
That's a lot of value on a very talented team.
Getting you ready for your wagertainment weekend.
These underdogs are just hitting at an insane rate.
Joe Ostrowski.
Oh, yeah, he's got a lot of Herbert Hoover in him.
With Bernstein and Harris. On the score.
This is a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Friday, presented by your local Ford dealers and iDot, It's Not a Game, Illinois.com. Joe Ostrowski joins us now, and this segment is brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS. Joe Ostrowski is on Twitter, at Joe Ostrowski. Don't know if he's migrated over there with the cool kids to Blue Sky yet. And if you haven't, I really suggest you do, because it's an absolutely pleasurable place to be on Blue Sky, and... It really is. It's like I find I'm tapping that app first just because of the dopamine release. I think my brain is telling me to do it because it's just nicer and more fun. And Joe is also a host of BetQL Daily and BetMGM Game Day here on the Bernstein and Harris Show with Layla Rahimi in. Hello, Joe.
Guys, I was thinking about, okay, what are we going to go over? What's interesting as far as sports betting angles? And not that we don't already know this, because you're living it every day. But my God, is it depressing. I'm looking at these different markets. Okay, what could we talk about? Oh, look, the Bears win total's down to 5.5 after everybody was on the over all offseason when it was sitting at 8.5. Oh, look, Eberflus has just as good of a chance to be the next coach fired, according to the odds, as Doug Peterson. Oh, there's a Jerry Reinsdorf prop we can bet on. Oh, the Cubs are a favorite for a free agent I don't want. It's just like one thing after another, after another. I saw 5.5.
Wasn't it at like 7 or 8?
Well, so
I said 10, so I'm crazy, but.
Yeah, it got bet up to 9 in the preseason during all the hype. In the lead up, and yeah, it was 8.5. Then people were betting that juice went to the over. Some spots eventually went to 9, and now we're at 5.5 after 4 straight losses. And a lot of that is just looking ahead. Oh. Like, how many times are the Bears going to be favored moving forward? Minnesota, Detroit, San Francisco, Minnesota, Detroit, Seattle, Green Bay.
Oh, we know.
Maybe one, maybe one game.
Got them being favored in a game.
Maybe the Seattle game at home.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of depends what Seattle looks like.
Or at the end of the year, if other people or other teams are resting for the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. The last week at Green Bay, if they have their spot locked up, maybe.
I've seen Green Bay's backup quarterback. I'm not confident in that game if things go the way that we think they're going to go.
They got a couple wins with him this year. So, yeah. Things are very pleasant here with the sports betting angles. You know, I'm looking at this Bears Vikings game and. I hate it here, but I actually kind of like the Bears with the points, +3.5 in this game. Obviously, the part that scares you is that Flores defense sending all that pressure at Caleb. How different is it going to be? Sure, you've got to give the Vikings a lot of credit to their start of the season, but I do wonder now that we look back at it, part of the storyline at the time was, wow, and it's against the tough part of their schedule. Week 2, San Francisco. Well, what are they? Are they even going to be in the playoffs right now? Everything going against them. We don't even know Brock Purdy's playing this weekend right now. Houston has not looked great. You look at Stroud numbers since week 6. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of metrics guys where he's ranking 25th to 30th in the league. Green Bay, were they all that impressive? New York Jets was part of that. And then we've seen Darnold start to turn the ball over. Maybe a bounce back last week against Tennessee, but against Indy and Jacksonville, he had 5-6 turnovers there. Like, as we get the larger sample size, are we starting to see the real Darnold? I do wonder that. I think the Bears can actually keep this game close enough, since it is more than a field goal, and it is the third straight road game for the Vikings. That is something bettors will go against in most situations.
All right, Joe. You know why I'm here. I'm here for the college, baby. I'm here for Deion Sanders in the playoff. I'm here for all the chaos that might happen this weekend. Uh-huh. Tell me what you like and what you don't like.
Well, we've got to start the conversation with Indiana-Ohio State.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's the one everybody's going to be watching. What happens, no matter what the result is, it's going to cause change in the playoff that we're looking at. And here's what's interesting. So, on Wednesday, we find out, that's a big injury for Ohio State. They lose their center. They were already missing their left tackle. Now they're missing their center for the season. And the line didn't move. Throughout the week, it was getting bet up. They were taking Ohio State. It goes 11.5, 12.5, all the way up to 13.5. And then yesterday, all the Hoosiers money came in. All of it. Just respected money came in on Cignetti in Indiana. And that thing was bet down to 10.5 right now.
Wow.
So it's now Ohio State. Yeah, this the best number if you like Ohio State is to bet it right now. And I don't know if there's going to be another move. Sometimes there's massaging of the numbers, bettors getting it to a place where they want it so they can come in on the other side. Those games certainly happen. But yeah, a lot of money coming in over the last 24 hours on Indiana. And it's the schedule argument. It's hard to make a strong case because we haven't seen Indiana face anybody. And if they lose, if they get smoked, we're going to all have that conversation whether or not they should be in just based on that. I'm having a tough time with the game. If forced to make a pick, I would go Ohio State. Can't wait to watch it. Notre Dame favored by 14.5 at Yankee Stadium. Man, look at what they have done ever since that NIU game. The amount of points that they're putting up, it is a legit defense for the Irish. They've already played a service academy team. I think the Irish are going to be just fine, and they're going to march on. And the committee told them the other day, you guys have a home game. You just have to win out, and you're going to have a home game in the first round. So I think Notre Dame certainly continues to take care of business there. You're on Colorado? You think they're going to be in the playoff, Marshall?
Listen, I'm debating putting some money right now on Colorado in the playoff just because of the way it shapes out with that other Big 12 game. And I just – Prime's got some momentum, and Shedeur Sanders has got things to prove. Yeah. And so does Travis Hunter, obviously, when you're talking about him and Jenty in the Heisman race. I don't know what those odds are looking like right now.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, BYU is just barely in. People were calling for this. They had a close win against Utah. They lose last week, and this weekend, BYU is a 3-point underdog to Arizona State.
Right.
So the market is expecting them to lose that game, and then they would drop off, and then Colorado, hey, man, it's all in your control for them to
They could get a bye, Joe. Run.
I know. They could absolutely be that four. They gave Boise the four this past week. As far as Travis Hunter, big move in favor of Hunter. He is a minus 400 favorite. They're saying it's a two-player race because Jenty is plus 400. And then we drop down to the quarterbacks. The highest one is Cam Ward at 14-1. So with just two games left, all the momentum going to Hunter. And Colorado has enough wins now. That's how most people are looking at it.
So what do the numbers say about the future of Juan Soto and other big MLB
names? Yeah,
we've
been waiting on that, yeah.
Okay, so the way that they post it is they give odds if they change teams. If they change teams. And here, let me... Here, I lost my... Here it is. Here's the sheet. Juan Soto, they actually put this one on a different page from the other free agents. So if he is not a Yankee... The favorite for Soto is to stay in New York, the Mets.
Oh.
Plus 200. Hmm. Yeah.
Where are the
plus
Cubs, 200. Joe?
let me click the show more teams option. That's
where we would have to go. Is mystery team?
You mean the Phillies?
Phillies are right behind the Mets, though, at plus 250.
And that's
so
not
really
a mystery.
Close. Yeah. Nope. Mets, Phillies, third favorite Dodgers. Usual suspects here.
Yeah, the Dodgers get him. I might quit baseball.
They only do free agents, or is the posting of Roki Sasaki wagerable?
That is available. And
because I thought the Cubs were viewed to be a more reasonable possibility, even though it's probably going to be the Dodgers.
Right. The Cubs are in the top six. They are the sixth favorite at 10-1. Take a wild guess on the favorite.
Dodgers.
Anybody?
Dodgers.
Dodgers. -200.
Yeah. There's even been.
Oh, my goodness.
There's already been allegations that the deal's already done.
Yeah. Dodgers -200. Then a big gap there down to the Padres at 6-1. So yeah, the Cubs are mentioned, but is it realistic? Yeah, that is the biggest favorite of any free agent listed out here.
Joe, what's the movement on MVP in the NBA? What's going on there?
Okay, so you had the Luka injury that happened yesterday. At the time, weren't quite sure what was going to go on, how long Luka's going to miss. We still don't exactly know. But
we don't know when Jokic is going to come back, right? He's been gone for a week, too, and it's personal reasons, so nobody seems to know what's going on.
Yeah, it's a week today, right? Because he missed last Friday.
Yeah, and then, you know, Jokic, do the voters want to give it to the same player 4 times in 5 years?
Oh, I hate that.
If he puts up the numbers he's putting up right now, Joe, absolutely.
But you also have to think about the 65-game rule. You've got to play in 65 games now. They made that change a year or so ago. Jokic is the favorite right now at +210 over at BetMGM.
Where's SGA?
Second favorite, right behind Jokic at +275.
Appropriate.
And then there's Tatum. But
I like Tatum too.
The name that is interesting, that the odds really dropped the last couple of days, is your scoring leader. And we were talking about Giannis on the show with my co-host Sam Panionovich, and he's 40-1. Why is he 40-1 early this week? Because of the team's record. He's the scoring leader. We know he puts up the numbers, but the expectation is the Bucks improve, and we're starting to see that right now. And wow, I now see Giannis at 10-1. He was 40-1 a couple of days ago. So part of that is Luka. Part of that is people realizing, okay, the Bucks are probably going to be fine this year, and he's going to have the numbers. So I expect Giannis to be in that conversation at the end. I'm not saying to bet it at 10-1. I bet it yesterday at 30. There is a 20-1 available. That's not terrible. But yeah, like you get the Luka news, and then all of a sudden people are paying attention to the market, and then they start betting into it.
Hmm.
Anything else you want to add that we should know about? I feel like this is one of those straightforward weeks in sports.
Yeah, the one, the free agent that the Cubs are favored for. Any guesses?
The free agent for whom the Cubs are
favored for? A good free agent? Like someone, a 5-win player, as Dan likes to say?
Name. You know the name.
I'm scared. Now I'm scared to ask. Who is it, Joe?
Would you like Justin Verlander in his age 42 season with what? Shoulder issues?
No.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
No.
That's who the Cubs are favored for.
Why?
At 3-1.
I would have never guessed why? Justin Verlander.
Why? Yeah, why is the question?
I don't know.
For what?
Yeah. If he leaves Houston, isn't that the kind of move? It's not what we want, of course, but is that a Cubs move now?
I don't think so.
Career is over at a discount.
That doesn't say intelligent spending to me.
Do the Cubs have moves like that in their back pocket that they've made recently?
Keep in mind, they went over the CBA this past year. What kind of number is Verlander? He's still going to command a high salary.
Yeah.
More than 20?
Short-term deal.
No thanks. I'm good.
No. I'm with you there. And there is also...
What about Detroit? Detroit might be in on that, as crazy as that sounds, you know?
Yeah.
Add some depth.
Yeah.
Try to actually make a real playoff push.
Fans would love that. He's the third favorite for Detroit at 5-1.
See, like that I don't mind. You know, it's an emotional play. Like that would make sense if he'd be willing to do it, Verlander. I don't know.
Joe, we are not going to talk to you next week because of Thanksgiving. So have a lovely holiday. Thanks so much.
And I'll leave you with this. You can also bet on will Jerry Reinsdorf sell the White Sox by March 27th. So there's that. Yeah. No. I mean, that, see how depressing it is? Like, this is the stuff that's available with Chicago-related teams. Fire
you're,
him.
Like you're trolling
sign
us.
This
that's
42-year-old.
Okay.
Will this guy sell the team? Please do. Yeah. Have a great weekend, guys.
That's Joe Ostrowski. Next up, High Noon. I can't wait to do this story because Layla's just going to absolutely love it. I thought it was hilarious, but it's. I hope you haven't seen it yet.
I have one for Marshall that I think he's really going to like, actually. This might be like Gift of the Magi. Marshall, what do you have?
Well, you know, there's the goat, and then there's the goat. We're going to find out who wasn't happy about Geno becoming the all-time winningest coach in men's or women's NCAA basketball history.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High Noon?
It's your last High Noon of the week, so enjoy it. We talked about our love affair with Thomas Brown and how far it will go and what it'll mean and what the ticker tape parade is going to look like. What
China do they call patterns it? You've registered for.
The Canyon of Heroes, if they're able to score a bunch of points and win the game.
Vitamix.
I watched the snow game last night with everybody else. It's a nice little novelty, but I would prefer that these games not be affected by weather, and I'm sure gamblers might appreciate that as well. We heard from Montez Sweat and his frustrations. He said, yeah, he's effing frustrated. Well, he should be. He should do something about it. And Joe Ostrowski gave us some depressing wagertainment information.
Come on, young.
It's high noon.
Okay. Marshall.
What you got?
You and I always talk about the human condition and behavior and relationships. And I
do love that stuff.
Yeah, we examine it. The headline is this. A woman married a man who sustained a concussion and the man forgot they broke up 7 months earlier. Is this ethical?
I saw this story.
Is it ethical?
Yeah. Tell the people what happened next.
Okay, so the day before he got this concussion, he broke up with her. His name is Mitchell. His last name is Brotherson. I don't know why I think that's unstable, but I just do. Jenna and Mitchell Brotherson got married on September 24th, 2020 in Draper, Utah. 7 months before they wed, Jenna broke up with Mitchell, sustained a concussion the next day, and didn't remember their conversation. When Jenna asked to get back together with Mitchell the month after his ski accident, she realized he had no clue that they weren't together. So is it ethical?
Yeah, it's ethical because he had. Here's why. It's ethical because he had time to figure out whether or not that was a mistake. People break up all the time and get back together all the time.
But he's got a traumatic brain injury.
He does, but he has recovered from it and made the decision to continue dating her.
Right.
It's not like he doesn't know that he broke up with her. He was told you broke up.
And it's pretty crazy because it was a skiing related accident. And given what happened yesterday, where I fell flat on my keister after I caught a slippery panel covered in 5 inches of snow, I would just like to say it could happen to you. But he was pretty baller in his accident. He was going off of a jump, and it was super icy. And his feet went in. He was skiing, and his feet went in front of him. And so he went off the jump, and he landed on his head. Yep. Terrifying. Terrifying. It was a pretty severe concussion. He ended up falling and failed most of his courses that semester and had to take a leave of absence after that to help his brain heal. Heartbreaking. Ugh. And then he called his girlfriend, who he thought he was still together with, and to pick him up because he couldn't drive. Just terrifying. And I know people get together after traumatic events or they stay together because of them. And I understand why it would be a test of a relationship and then a reason to continue one or make it more commitment filled. But man, this is this is like an ethical question to me.
Listen, if one of my exes, there's a couple. They had a traumatic brain injury, and they hit me up and said, can I pick them up? I'd be like, be right there. But there's several others who, if they did the same thing, I'd be like, you don't have a relative you could call? It just depends. It depends on how you left the relationship. I've broken up with women, and they've broken up with me over many, many different things, mostly distance. I have a track record of dating long distance.
Emotional distance is what they mean.
Nah, it wasn't emotional. Yeah. It was physical.
Okay. So Well,
all right.
I don't know, man. I just don't know. I need progress updates on the relationship.
All right, so I guess I'll go next. You know who the GOAT is in college basketball when it comes to coaching now? Gino Auriemma. Got a
win his 1,217th at Harry A. Gamble Pavilion Court. And in honor of that win, they presented this man with a goat.
What are we doing?
And finally, from one goat to another, congratulations on becoming the all-time winningest coach in D1 college basketball, Gino Auriemma.
We're honorary members of the International Order of Old Goats. Just so you know, there's an old wives' tale that whenever you do this with animals, especially goats,
what?
If this goat takes a dump on this carpet, we're going to win a national championship.
Yeah. So, Gino, with a plan. I don't think the goat defecated on the red carpet. But since he is a goat, I guess he could do that if he really felt like that was the key to success.
Seems
but meanwhile,
a bit personal.
Meanwhile, there's an organization, you may have heard of them, PETA.
Mm-hmm. What are they mad about?
They're mad because they said this goat was, quote unquote, visibly anxious. And to make matters worse, the person leading that goat onto the red carpet either didn't notice or didn't care that his collar was digging into his neck. The organization saying it will be sending a letter to UConn to urge the school to, quote unquote, make this cruel courtside spectacle its last. And here's the best line of the release from PETA. The University of Connecticut can't con, open parentheses, that's spelled with two N's, by the way, close parentheses.
Oh, no.
People into thinking it's okay to subject a stressed out animal to the chaos of bright lights and screaming fans. UConn clearly didn't see anything wrong with the gesture as they spent several minutes celebrating with the goat after their 85-41 win over FDU.
Put that goat on a hill somewhere and let it eat some fescue, and it'll be fine.
Put it on the roof at Al Johnson's in Sister Bay, Wisconsin, with the grass roof, and they put the goats up there and they eat.
Yeah, just let it eat some stuff.
People
hire goats to eat the brush on places they can't get to.
I hope the goat is okay. And I also hope UConn's okay, which they are, obviously.
That's a really bad pun, even for PETA.
Scientists teaching rats to drive.
Yes!
Have discovered that not only are the rodents capable of operating their tiny cars.
Tiny vehicles for the rats!
But they actually enjoy it and get a kick out of revving their engines.
Oh, this is the best.
Listen, University of Richmond professor and neuroscientist Kelly Lambert has been leading the research since 2019. And in that time, she and her team have found the whiskered critters really like driving their miniature vehicles.
They're cute.
She said, unexpectedly, we have found the rats had an intense motivation for their driving training, often jumping into the car and revving the engine lever before their vehicle hit the road.
Please tell me there's video.
Lambert's study aims to explore the relationship between animals and their environments and how their cognition develops, how they process new skills.
That's adorable.
The new revelation showed the rats looked forward to getting behind the wheel beforehand. The three driving trained rats eagerly ran to the side of the cage, jumping up like my dog does, she said, when asked if he wants to take a walk. Have the rats always done this, and I had just not noticed? Were they just eager for a Fruit Loop or anticipating the drive itself?
Both.
Whatever, they appeared to be feeling something positive, excitement, and anticipation. It came from a combination of their Pavlovian response, knowing they'd be rewarded, on top of their positive experiences operating their pint-sized vehicles.
Why does this make me so happy?
They trained the rats to correlate driving with their reward, a coveted Fruit Loop, which encouraged them to hit the gas. But even without the reward, the rodents wanted to zoom off in their mini cars.
Oh, my goodness.
Said rather than pushing buttons for instant rewards, they remind us that planning, anticipating, and enjoying the ride may be the key to a healthy brain.
I want to cry. That's the sweetest thing. Man, I came across a dead rat the other day, and I was like, aw, sad. Maybe those rats in the subway just have a different plan, you know? Maybe they want to do something different with the vehicles over there.
Kevin Fishbane is going to talk Bears next on The Score.